I know you like that.
How long you been back, man?
See the girls in the club, they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this style for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me.
All right, everybody, we are back from Tarps Off in Mexico. Get the Puck Out is back. Lace your skates and sit on my face. It's Chris Mancuso here. Kyle, he's in dad mode right now. The little guy, our buddy Gordy, he's sick this week. He's got like some bronchitis. We're hoping he gets a speedy recovery and doesn't keep his dad up too late. Exciting stuff for me, guys. Get the Puck Out, presented by DeanBlundell.com, is back. There has been a ton of shit happening in the NHL this week, including me getting like a viral tweet from Mexico, absolutely gassed out of my tree. I didn't even know it happened. I put my phone down. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. I also took a new position with Full Press Coverage, which is a great hockey website, so I'll be the managing editor there. Everybody knows Get the Puck Out started on the Full Press Radio Network. We are now since... it at the DeanBlundell.com family network, but we always love Full Press, so I'm happy to be doing that. And plucked one of my favorite Bruins guys and a great overall hockey mind, my buddy Nick Germano is here with us. Nicky, how you doing today, buddy?
How you doing, Chris? Glad to be back from down south. I'm missing those Mexico tweets, but it's time to get some hockey going again. It's hockey time, so I'm excited.
That's right, buddy. It was tarps off all week. I must have drank about... season. 4 to 5 cases of beer just to myself at the condo. It was like, I was with my dad. It was almost like he lives down there in the wintertime. So it was like Del Boca Vista, Florida in Seinfeld, all old people, man. So all I did all day was like talk golf and smoke cigars and chug beers. And they loved it, man. We had a great time, but it was just basically me getting my party on with a bunch of senior citizens. It was great.
Like you were living the dream. You seemed like you were living the dream.
I was, buddy. I was having a great time. I went out, ventured out onto a couple of the resorts and went and checked it all out. But we don't need to go there because there was some explosive news yesterday. The Vancouver Canucks, after learning that Michael Ferland's conditioning stint from his concussion didn't go well, decided they were going to shut him down for the year. Jim Benning knows his job is on the line clearly here as they pull off a trade for LA Kings forward and expiring contract. Tyler Toffoli, he makes his way to the Vancouver Canucks for Madden, a second round pick and a conditional fourth round pick if he signs in Vancouver. Nick, I know you were pretty high on Madden here. What can you let us know about the kid?
Yeah, so Madden's a Beanpot champion this year. 19 goals, 37 points through this season in 27 games. Definitely an offensive weapon. They managed to add him and Tim Schaller, former Bruin, from our fourth line back then in the day. But his scouting report, very good things to say about him. They said just a very highly skilled offensive player, great active mobility and hockey sense. Through the neutral zone, sets up his teammates well with time passes. Seems like a very like all-around well-balanced player, kind of like a Bergeron.
Yeah.
Still pretty young. He's got, I think, a year left in Northeastern, but definitely someone to keep your eye on for the future in the NHL. I think Vancouver got away with, I think they bit off a little too much more than they could chew here, in my opinion. I think Toffoli is a great player. He's on an expiring contract. I think they gave up a little bit too much. I'm not sure what you think, but
I agree in the sense of it just reeks of Jim Benning knows that it better be playoff time this year or they're going to be he's going to be losing his job because that was a pretty steep price for a guy in Tyler Toffoli who hasn't broken the 20 goal threshold in I think 3 seasons. And I know that the LA Kings teams haven't been that great, but at the same time you got to think that was a bit of an overpayment there by Jim Benning. But I mean the Pacific Division is absolutely bananas. It is the most bananas division in all of hockey. I'm just pulling up the stats here because it changes so much every day. Like right now Vegas or the Edmonton Oilers are on top of the Pacific Division with 70 points in 59 games. Second place, you got the Vegas Golden Knights, but they've played 61 games and have 70 points. And the Vancouver Canucks are holding on with 69 points. Nice. Nice. 69 points in 59 games. Calgary's right there. And Arizona both have 68 points, but Vancouver has 2 games in hand on Calgary. and 3 games in hand on Arizona. Arizona trades for Taylor Hall and they start making their way towards the basement. I'd say coincidence. I think not. Taylor Hall is a, it seems to be like a natural born loser, that guy. I don't know what the hell it is with that guy, but keep him away. If Arizona looked to flip him at the deadline, I don't want the Bruins touching that guy with a 10-foot pole.
Not with that contract.
No. I mean, he's a UFA at the end of the year anyway, right? It's not even about that. It's about teams taking a serial shit every time he joins them. He's just an absolute draft lottery magnet, that fucking guy. Keep that guy right away from me. And
Vancouver, I just want to say, but like moving the Tim Schaller contract too and just getting that old Kessler out of the way, he wasn't doing much in Vancouver, so I feel like that was a good way to I think probably that conditional fourth round pick had to go with Tim Schaller, I feel like there.
That probably was a catch weight for them to even take him on.
I applaud them for that, but other than that, not much to really brag about for the
No, definitely not. And I do want to bring up as well, there was another trade that that went down. We saw Blake Coleman go to the Tampa Bay Lightning as if that team wasn't deep enough and on a hot of a roll right now, just on the Boston Bruins' ass. If it wasn't for the loser point, the Bruins would be lapped right now by Tampa. They're a high-speed train, man, and they just picked up a guy in Blake Coleman. And did they ever pay a price giving up giving up Nolan Foote, the first rounder in 2020 or 2021. It has a condition on it. I'm guessing that's make the playoff space. But Blake Coleman to Tampa Bay, that is an absolute, we're going all in. They don't want what happened last year to happen again. This team already has 215 goals forward as a team, and they add Blake Coleman into the mix here. Tampa Bay has got to be the favorite in the East now.
I've been pushing Blake Coleman so hard this whole season. I'm sure you're well aware.
You're a big Blake
Coleman. Easily one of the most underrated players in the NHL, if not the most underrated player in the NHL. Silky mitts, great on the PK. He's a forechecker. He plays both sides of the puck. He would have had the fourth most goals in the Bruins behind our first line. I mean, he really does do it all. And I think Tampa Bay really stole this one. They're never afraid to make trades this late into the season. They always find their way into the trade deadline mix somehow. And I think they got a real gem out of Blake Coleman. They did lose Nolan Foote, who is a very good prospect and a first-round pick. But Tampa Bay knows that they have – last year is in the rear view at this point for them. They know they have the team that they need to get the cup. And Blake Coleman, all he does is just make it even harder for us to keep up with them. We already had a big enough lead on them to start the year. And they're dwindling it down and down and down and down. And here we are now. They're right up on our tail. And I think it's time Don Sweeney needs to bite the bullet here and make a move.
Well, we all know who I'm getting. We all know who I'm going for. The Boston Bruins need to get Chris Kreider. We're going to go over the trade bait board a little bit later. And I'll lay out my case. And I might even levitate outside of my body and have an outer body experience if they bring Chris Kreider into that team. But I do want to talk about something serious that happened while I was away and while we didn't have Get the Puck Out brought to you by DeanBlundell.com. Last week we had no episode, but Jay Bouwmeester, I mean, we'll talk about this quickly. He had, obviously everybody would know now, unless you really lived under a rock, a cardiac episode during the first period in a game against the Ducks back on February the 11th. Super scary, but happy to report that Bouwmeester is back in St. Louis and is on the road to recovery. They had to put a pacemaker in. That'll be it for Jay Bouwmeester. What a career. This is a multi-gold medal winning defenseman for Team Canada. You're talking about a Stanley Cup champ and an all-around great teammate. And I think it said a lot when you saw the photos of the Ducks players hugging the St. Louis Blues players. I mean, Jay Bouwmeester is just one of the most respected players in all of hockey. He's been in the league, one of the few defensemen that find success before they're 20 years old. And he's been in the league a long time, and 36 years old to have something like that, it's really fucking scary. So we're glad he's okay, but that was a terrible incident.
It was awful. It reminds me a lot of the Rich Peverly episode back when he was on the Bruins. So, I mean, like another well-respected player, Stanley Cup champion. I mean, that's nothing you ever want to see, no matter the player. It just happens to be Bouwmeester, and he's a super respected guy. But, I mean, there's just, you never want to see that in hockey, and it really helps bring the family close together. I mean, it's all one big family.
Yeah, man. And speaking of a big family, and I want to talk about it because there was some shit that went on Twitter and that definitely made a couple hockey guys not look like family. And Paul Bissonnette and Daniel Carcillo got right into it. And first off, I want to say is I wasn't surprised by Bissonnette's story of Carcillo calling him the N-word. Because Dan Carcillo's whole thing, he's always said, is like he said it to me. I interviewed him, and I'm not listening. I'm not saying he's right in this because I think he goes about things the wrong way, and I have no problem saying that because I wouldn't have any problem saying it to him. But I like Daniel as a person. He really believes what he's doing is right, but. You know, I wasn't shocked about the racism thing because he had said it before. So I was very shocked at how that like all blew up because he's always taken responsibility for being like a racist, homophobic psycho when he was younger based on a culture he was raised in. But, you know, he did go after Bissonnette a couple times, right? Like, so
it unfolded very fast.
Life comes at you fast, bro. And I mean, one thing I'll say is that like Bissonnette is gonna, like, I didn't know why he thought he could just keep poking and poking without him doing something like that. Paul Bissonnette isn't really the kind of guy who's going to sit back and let you try to
power already in the hockey media industry. So.
He's the biggest guy in the game, bro.
Not a bear you want to
poke. In the game. And there was a little incident that we're going to actually talk about on here that you would have no idea about. It's a little funny incident that happened at Get the Puck, brought to you by DeanBlundell.com, one of our lovely contributors at DeanBlundell.com. Toronto Maple Leafs fan extraordinaire. But honestly, I will say, like, one of the most genuinely great guys I've ever met. Graham Kreitzer is so funny. He's just so clever. I love the guy. But he thought he was on his own personal Twitter account. But we have an account that has like 30,000 followers for all of the staff. Like, so I can go on there and put this episode of Get the Puck out on the Dean Blundell page so that way more people get it, right? It's a little thing that Deaner set up for us as a favor, and shout out to Deaner. I know he's a controversial guy, but another guy I'd fucking take a bullet for, that guy, man, 100%. But anyway, Graham starts going after fucking Bissonnette in the Spit and Chicklets podcast because he doesn't like them or whatever, but he's talking from the team, like the staff account goes... gets the staff account blocked from Spit and Chicklets, which is the biggest goddamn hockey podcast going. I'm on the staff here working in hockey. I'm in the middle of trying to get an interview with Bissonnette, and Grammer's telling him where to go. Guess what, though? I don't give a fuck. I'm team Kreitzer all the way at the end of the day. So if Paul Bissonnette doesn't want to do a fucking interview with me after being a part of that, then he can get it too. Fuck him. But I just find that story is, it's the funniest story ever, man.
Very unfortunate.
It is.
But
you do hate to see it. It's all in good fun, though. Like, I love Graham.
All good fun.
I would run through a wall for that guy. It's just fun to bust his nuts. And the number one favorite excuse I've learned so far, being at DeanBlundell.com, and I know Dean will get a kick out of this, is the old, I forgot I was signed into the staff account. it's my favorite, you know. It's my favorite one. It's my favorite thing. I just forgot. I'm gonna go on there and just forget one time and get all of Leafs Nation just so mad from the Blundell account, and they're all something Toronto fans. sorry boys, I thought I was on the my personal account. No, I'm just busting nuts, man. We have so much fun in this atmosphere, and down at DeanBlundell.com, it's truly the best place you can blog and best place you can create content. Dean, even if he disagrees with what you're saying, wants you to fire it out there. It's awesome. But going back to firing it out there, Carcillo and Paul Bissonnette spared no shortage of punches. Bissonnette said that Carcillo wore a robe in the locker room or sweater that had a swastika embroidered in it. And he's denying that. He's admitting that he said racist stuff and that him and Biz both used to say the N-word to each other, which, you know, you just don't do that. But I think that was a time and place thing back then. It was a little culturally different
culture.
Yeah. Like, I remember being a white, like, little wigger kid listening to Limp Bizkit and Eminem and stuff and Dr. Dre, but I don't think I would have ever called anybody that. But I mean, I don't know. I wasn't old, though. I was a kid, right? So who knows what the older kids were doing in that time. All I'm saying is Dan has his heart in the right place of wanting to help people with concussions and that.
He's done miles for the concussion community.
He has, and I give him mad credit for that. But when you have done the things that he's done, not everybody's going to appreciate hearing the lecture from you. And that's just something he's going to have to live with for his whole life. And I don't owe him anything. So like, he doesn't owe me anything. Like, I don't expect an apology, but I will say is like, if he felt the need to apologize to everyone, I sure as hell accept it. You know what I mean? Like, I believe that people can recover. You're talking to someone like me who used to have like a little bit of a problem a few years ago with a couple things and had to go and sort some shit out myself. So listen, I understand that people can be rehabilitated, but Dan, you can't be lecturing everybody. And if you're going to go at somebody, you can't then put your arms up when they come back at you. And that's how I feel about it. And I offered them each the chance to come on this platform and discuss it, because Carcillo said he won't do it inside the Barstool platform. He doesn't believe in it or whatever.
Which makes sense.
Which is fine. I like Barstool a lot, and I like Dan a lot, and I like Biz a lot. So like, I think I'm like one of the few people that doesn't have a side in this. But what I will say is, anybody who decided to message Daniel Carcillo and use his children's name and threaten him, you're a fucking pile of human garbage.
Never a place for that.
You're a waste of fucking life to do that to a guy's wife and little kids. Meanwhile, because he's out on the road doing a tour right now, and they have to have the police outside his house because him and Paul Bissonnette got into a fight. Like, you know what? I'm sorry to say, but no fucking person is worth you sending a threat about somebody's kid, especially someone like Paul Bissonnette, who wouldn't even fucking say hi to you in the streets because he's too damn busy making money, man. These people are fucking so over the top. It's such a stupid situation that, I mean, hey, Daniel seemed like he kind of came fishing for it, and Biz certainly crossed the line punching across the line. I think, with him going at Jeremy Roenick, I think that the guys at Chicklets feel really bad he lost his job, man. I think they feel bad that happened on their platform, and Daniel starts coming in.
Barstool fans will go to great lengths for their people that they listen to every day.
Dana Beers just grew like 70,000 people and made $100,000 and made Portman and Barstool $1.5 million in 10 days.
$1.5 million.
Just by telling people to buy stuff, dude. Listen, I respect Barstool. You don't get a company to $450 million for no fucking reason, bro. Literally. And then everyone who wants to cry about misogyny, this, that, and the other, they're the Barstool CEO. Erica Nardini is not only like just like the hottest babe, and like, dude, like she's the hottest business babe. Dude, she's so smart. They have blown up under her. And she's just absolutely a rocket too. So like, it's just like, what a company to work for. Those guys must be having the time.
No one's doing it like Barstool does it.
No one is, bro. And it's funny. And that's why they're successful, man. It's funny to see. I like them personally. I know that a lot of people, I know, hate Barstool. I think I know more people that dislike Barstool than like Barstool. But my saying's always been, if you don't like Barstool, you don't like fun. But speaking of things that were funny to me and was almost like a Barstool video gone wrong, was what the Penguins paid to acquire Jason Zucker last week from the Minnesota Wild. What was that trade? It was Galchenyuk,
Kalen Addison, and a 2020 or 2021 first-round pick.
Was Addison just in the World Junior Championship?
He was just in the World Junior Championship. He had 8 assists through 7 games, plus a goal for Canada. Brought home the gold, as we all know.
Yeah.
He was a stud. He drafted in the second round, 53rd overall, a couple years back. He's an absolute rocket. I mean, the guy can make plays. He can score goals. Definitely a great pickup for the Wild, who are clearly in rebuild mode at this point too, as well. Willing to take on Galchenyuk, try and give him another chance at another team. It seems like Galchenyuk only had a problem in Pittsburgh. He seems to do well in most of the teams he played for, like Montreal and the others in Arizona. But I like this trade. I think it's good. I don't think the Penguins are going to have a lot to work with, though, once Malkin and Crosby find father time creeping up. They're giving up a lot, and they still have Washington to deal with in the Metro.
And all the other teams over there as well.
Oh, yeah. They're not an easy division either. No division's easy in this sport.
No, and speaking of crazy divisions, we're going to kick it back to the Pacific Division. The Oilers are surviving pretty well without Connor McDavid. Another thing that happened this past week when we were gone was Zach Cassian got suspended 7 games for kicking Cernak from Tampa in the chest with his skate blade. I think I had the first video of that on Twitter, but my phone almost blew up
then. Oh, your phone almost exploded. I couldn't believe it. I was excited for you. That was awesome.
But, yeah, man, it ended up getting 1.2 million views, the Cassian kick video I had, and it was retweeted by all the fun accounts, like Spittin' Chicklets retweeted it and that, right? So definitely helped blow up everything, man, like for that, as far as that tweet went. And just seeing everyone's reaction, what do you think of 7 games?
I think it should have been more, personally.
Me too, bro. And there's everyone, like I'm talking, I made the tweet, right? So every fucking person and their mother commented on it. And no one was under 10. People, I said 5+, which for me meant he needs to have an in-person hearing. But some people didn't read the plus. It would be like, 5 games? Are you a fucking idiot? You should get fucking 25 games, you cocksucker. And I'm like, man, I would just write back, what does the plus mean? That means it could be more. It could be 5 to the rest of the season. Yeah, they have a hard time reading things on Twitter, but people were pissed, man. He legitimately kicked a guy with his knife shoes on.
We're talking about things that have no place in hockey earlier, but like this literally has no place in hockey. I mean, you're like you said, you're literally wearing knife shoes, and you're going to go at someone's chest like that, full throttle. And
he's trying to do open heart surgery right on the ice. Are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, if he snuck under the chest protector there, who knows what could have happened? They could have ripped him wide open. I mean, I don't know what was thinking.
What if he would have moved his head back or something, or like bent down? He could have got him in the throat, bro.
I remember back when Sean Thornton was on the team, he got a skate to the neck when he was down on the boards, and he was inches away from being paralyzed from the neck down. I mean, there's so many. It's a game of inches when you try and pull stuff off like this, and he was really fighting. He was fighting with fire here.
Yeah, in the OHL this year, Tucker Tynan of the Niagara Ice Dogs, a player slid into him and it sliced the artery in his leg open. The kid almost died on the ice. 16 years old.
Oh my God.
Was the save percentage leader or then like third in goals against average in the OHL. Great goalie. We wish him all the best. Oh, yeah, man. You feel for him. And Clint Malarchuk back in the 80s or whatever it was in Buffalo got his throat
to the back or something.
And with just the reckless behavior and a guy in Cassian who was spent the last week or two before bitching about the code. I didn't know kicking was in the code of hockey. Huge pussy move by him. Should have been more than 7 games. Cassian is an absolute meathead dummy.
He'll be looking out for some headshots on the way when he gets back. I feel like players aren't going to be very happy with that.
No, and I want to talk about that with you. We are starting to see an inconsistency problem with the NHL player safety department being spearheaded by George Parros, who I think, although is a very well-educated guy, people wouldn't know that. He actually went to Princeton, right? That's where he played his hockey. Mm-hmm. Smart guy. Guess what? It seems to be double standard. Seems like relationships matter to him. I'm a Boston fan. Zdeno Chara deserved to be suspended for the cross check on Brendan Gallagher. He deserved it. It doesn't matter where his stick level is. He sticked him in the throat. That's a dangerous play. That's a dangerous play. He should have been suspended. You see Lawson Crouse elbows Charlie McAvoy in the head in the same game that Jeremy Lauzon elbows someone in the head. Lauzon gets suspended. Crouse gets nothing. Kane gets 3 games. And Evander Kane had fucking seen enough of it. And players are starting to get sick of it too. Evander because Kane. Guess what? Player safety doesn't give a shit about player safety. They pick and choose who they suspend. They pick and choose everything. It's a disgrace. And, there's talks now, and I've heard from people around the league, that Evander Kane, just for speaking out about the inconsistencies, will now also get an additional fine on top of his suspension.
I heard the same thing.
It is a joke, and I'm going to read his quote here. He said, "The fact that the NHL Department of Safety, headed by George Parros, continue to pick and choose who and what they suspend is ridiculous. There have been countless incidents of the same nature throughout the season and past seasons that have gone unsuspended or fined. No one person can tell you what is or isn't a suspension in today's game. It's become a complete guess. There is a major lack of consistency with the NHL Department of Player Safety, a completely flawed in all capital system in so many ways. From suspensions to appeal rights, it's baffling to me how we as players agreed to this. You can't continue to give us give some players a pass and throw the book at others. There has to be an outside third party making these decisions to remove the bias in it that transpires in this department headed by George Parros. None of it makes any sense. Now, did you notice he said George Parros three times in that or whatever? Like, there is an inconsistency problem. He's not wrong.
Nope. Let me say this. I'll be the first to say I wrote an article back in November. I don't think there's many people that dislike Evander Kane as much as I do. I think he's such a princess, first off. And he was asking so much from Chara back when they were having that little feud. And he was whining on Twitter and stuff, and I couldn't stand it. But
yeah,
I think
then he got his head punched off.
Got his head punched off. But I think he worded this perfectly. I really did. I think it's really great what he said. You don't know what's a suspension anymore. You really don't. You really don't. Like, I couldn't tell you what a suspension is anymore. I mean, just we know well enough because we just saw it happen in our game a couple of games ago with Lazan, like you were saying. I mean,
it was the same hit. They did. He just retaliated for what had happened. It was the same thing. Yeah. They both should have got the exact same suspension. Like, and they didn't even. And Evander Kane put that video on Twitter and said, "How does this not get suspended?"
I know.
Not just us being salty Bruins fans here to clear up for our friends in Leaf Nation back home or or any other team you follow. Evander used that play in particular as an example of how egregious the inconsistencies have been so far this season. And I think the players are really going to start getting very serious about actually getting player safety taken serious. And that's where a guy like, you know, whether you like Dan Carcillo or not, it doesn't matter to me whether you think of him or not, but he has advocated for the players to take their player safety way more serious. And he can't believe they agreed to it either. To see some guys like Evander Kane and that come out of the woodwork now and starting to actually say, like, why are these guys protecting us? There was those tweets that were leaked from the emails that were leaked from the NHL from Campbell, and Mike Milbury said that Mark Savard, the hit on Matt Cook, an email leaked, and he said, oh, good call not suspending Cook. He shouldn't have been suspended. Oh. And just these old dinosaur fucking assholes, bro, that don't give a shit about the well-being of any of these players. That does piss me off. It does.
I have to ask you one question, though. So with Evander Kane getting this fine, what are the chances you think? I think it's going to take a couple more calls like this to really send him over, but a potential lockout scenario here where they just say, we've had enough. They all come together. They're like, we're not playing. We need changes now. What do you think it's going to take for that to happen?
I think it's going to have to take like someone, a star player getting seriously injured. Like, it's going to take a Mark Savard incident on Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl or David Pastrnak or Austin Matthews. Yeah. I think they always have to wait until someone gets fucking hurt. They can never just go and try to deal with it fast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's what bothers people, man. And it's true about this league. You have to say that it's true. I don't want to get too far off the deep end here, but just the amount of good players you see, the Colorado Avalanche are just in injury hell right now. Nazem Kadri, Matt Calvert, they have lost Mikko Rantanen last night. Grubauer, their starting goalie, is out. The injury bug is going around hard right now, man, and it's tough out there. And you got to be careful. It's the fastest this game's ever been moving. There's no two-line pass, and the game moves fast. You got to keep your head up.
The Bruins know the injury bug too well, so.
Yeah, we've lost the most man games this season to injury. It's been tough. You know what? Speaking of things that have been tough here, and I don't mean to pile on Leafs fans here. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. They're sitting in third in the Atlantic Division right now. Would play Tampa Bay if the playoffs started today. They lost 5-2 Sunday night in Buffalo. Gave up three straight goals in the third period. Freddie Anderson was in net. The fans are getting a little antsy because Jack Campbell, they made a trade and acquired Jack Campbell and Kyle Clifford from the LA Kings for Trevor Moore and some draft picks. What do you think of the situation right now in Toronto?
I mean, right now they're 2 points ahead of Florida, right? But Florida also has a game in hand, so they're really neck and neck with Florida right now. And Florida, they made a lot of changes this offseason, too. They're not a team to mess around with. If they manage to fall under Florida, they're out of a wild card spot too. Like, it's very tight down there at the
bottom. Yeah, they have to make it in the third. They have a better chance making it in the third spot. Like, either one of those teams won't be the wild card team unless they go on a run, but I don't think so. I mean, I haven't seen anything from either one of those teams that says they're going to go on a run. I think it's going to be a dogfight.
I mean, and it's clear they're trying to make some changes, but like, they make this play for a goalie that they need, and then things like this still happen with their starter. I mean, that's almost like a kick to the balls at that point. Like, what are we trying to do here? Like, you still have to split the games, but like, they're doing what they can, and I don't think it's really working out for them. I'm not sure. I know Tavares is receiving some heat on Twitter. I see that a lot. I think a bunch of Leaf fans are too
happy. Austin Matthews, though, what a player. Holy shit.
Oh, my gosh.
Give that kid his credit, man. I mean, I'm supposed to hate the Leafs. I put respect on Austin Matthews' name. That kid shot his
gross. He's a bad man.
He's a bad motherfucker, dude. I love that kid, actually. His mustache and shit. Like, he's funny, dude. I'm a big – that's fine. That's why it's funny, man. Like, I love to wire Leafs fans. I'm more of just a troll, though. Like, I love – like, there's a couple guys on the Leafs. Like, Marner is a disgusting player, too.
Yeah. No, Austin Matthews has a crazy style. He has some of the best style. Him and Pastrnak have the best style in the game easily. When their pregame suits, the things, those three-piece suits they got rocking.
Oh, dude, there's no question why they're tied for first place in the league. When you right. walk in looking that good, you have at least a half chub.
It's like McGregor energy almost. It's like
Conor. Yeah, it's big dick energy, bro. And you just big show up. Dick. You look good, feel good, wheel good, bro. And that's what these guys are doing. They're learning. Yeah. The better I look before the game, I'm going to have a little bit of a cock pump, and I'm going to go out there and start fucking firing piss missiles. And that's what happens, bro.
That's what they do best.
Yeah, buddy, and that's what you love to see. Speaking of something I love to see, how about Carter Finley Stadium in beautiful Carolina getting an outdoor hockey game? A bunch of jerks are going outside to the tune of 57,583 people, and they say there's not a bad seat in the house. It's one of the best stadiums for it. Gary Bettman's excited. He loves nothing more than pumping that hockey content in the United States, which is exactly what he should be doing. The Carolina Hurricanes, whether you liked it, and I didn't like it. I hated the storm surge. I thought it was stupid. Oh, I sit on the storm
surge.
But I did. But guess what? It fired the crowd up. They were selling out. Sarah Sivian, she's a great writer from The Athletic for the Hurricanes. She makes things funny. Sarah Siv's good stuff.
She's awesome.
Actually, she's one of the people that followed me the night of the big tweet, and that was on Valentine's Day. So I'm not saying that there's some signals there. I'm going to take it one way or the other, but I'm taking it how I choose.
Take it and run.
I'm taking it and running, and we're not going to ask her for comment. She doesn't. There's no need. Get out of here, you fucking loser.
She's pissing you out.
She'd be like, I saw you with your tarp off, buddy. You have no chance.
Your pants at your ankles. You're running.
Yeah, running out, pants at my ankles, tarps off. Oh, man, did I have a good time in Mexico, guys. We are basically coming down to the end of this thing right now. The only thing I want to give a shout out to before we sign off from this latest episode of Get the Puck Out presented by DeanBlundell.com is how about Shane Wright of the OHL's Kingston Frontenacs right now. If anybody doesn't know, Shane Wright was granted exceptional status. Now, what exceptional status is for our U.S. viewers that maybe don't understand is in junior hockey. Hockey Canada has a rule called exceptional status, and what that allows is for the OHL, you are not allowed to play until you're 16 years old unless you're deemed to be a disgusting prodigy, i.e. there's only ever been five before. The three I know off the top of my head are Connor McDavid, John Tavares, Aaron Ekblad. So you have to be that kind of player. So In Connor McDavid's first year in the OHL at a 15-year-old, he had 63 points and 25 goals and was an absolute stud in his first year. They knew he was going to be the first pick. This kid is without a doubt the 2022 first pick. It's not even close. In 50 games this year, the kid has 34 goals and 26 assists for 60 points.
Mm-hmm.
Just turned 16. In the OHL, where you can be play in the league as a 20-year-old, as an overager, he's 16 years old. It makes you feel pretty
depressed knowing there's 16-year-olds out there doing stuff like that.
Put it in perspective for you. This kid was born in 2004.
I know. I'm an 01 baby. I feel really old listening to that. I can't believe a kid from 04 is pulling stuff off like this. Is such an amazing league. Last year before, he was playing midgets. In midgets the year before, he had 150 points in 72 games. 66 goals, 84 assists.
I mean, that's what he's doing in midget hockey, man. So like AAA, he's playing the best.
AAA midgets. That's no joke.
No joke, man. He's playing the top guys. He's in the GTMHL. He played 33 games there. Had scored 31 goals, 41 assists. That's the best minor hockey league you can play, man. And that kid was like, that's where McDavid played, Stamkos played, all those guys played that you see in the league now. Sagan, all of them, these awesome guys. And this kid, bro, he's still got more time, bro. This guy could get 70.
He's nowhere near done.
He's nowhere near done. Shane Wright is an absolute stud. Look for him to be to just be throwing dick around the fucking OHL next year. That's going to be crazy when this kid leads the league in the OHL next year in points and he can't even be drafted yet. It's going to be awesome.
I've never heard of it before.
I know, man. It's the most impressive thing. And Tate Harris, a friend of mine, made a video asking if Shane Wright is a better player. The crazy thing about him, man, before we go, he's the best two-way forward on his team as well. He's a center, bro. They say he's like a Connor McDavid, Patrice Bergeron hybrid, man. He's like the best defensive forward on his team. It's disgusting, man. I love to see it. You love to see hockey back, and I love being back from Mexico, even though I was having a good time. You know, it's time to put the tarp back on and start crushing out this content, guys. I want to let everyone know. Nick, let everyone know where they can follow you.
Yeah. So my Twitter is at Nick C. Germano. I'm starting to write for Full Press Coverage along with Chris. I'm going to be running the Bruins account over there, as well as some freelance stuff with Bruins Diehards. I've been writing for them for ever since the beginning of the season, just about having a great time with them. But me and Chris got me on board a couple days ago, and I'm ready to get started. Super excited. Having a great time so far.
Love it, Nikki. Thank you guys so much. And before I go, guys, I just want to remind everybody, if you don't run with Get the Puck Out, run from it, motherfuckers. Have a good week. We'll be back next week. Thanks for kicking in.